Mahecik from UNHCR. Well, joining us now, Catherine Costello is a Professor of International Human Rights and Refugee Law at Oxford University's Refugee Studies Centre. Good morning, Catherine. You have suggested that the deaths in their scale were shocking and needless, but they were also predictable. In terms of international law, what does that mean about culpability, for example, for those EU leaders who cut back on Mare Nostrum?
Well, I think when the Operation Triton, the EU operation, took over from Mare Nostrum, the gaps in search and rescue capability were clear. And we also knew that the demand for refuge in Europe was clearly there, in particular with the Syrian crisis and other refugee crises in Africa. So they really created this situation. But I think the main culpability lies in the fact that the lack of safe access. You and I could buy a ticket to get on a very safe ferry boat and cross the Mediterranean, and those tickets cost less than £50. We know that Syrian families spend thousands in order to get into unsafe craft, and the reason they can't make a safe journey is because European governments don't issue humanitarian visas, and we maintain a carrier's liability scheme, which means that legal carriers, ferry boats, airlines don't allow refugees to board those craft.
Yes, so, but let's look at that, because we know a flight out of Egypt, for example, would be, say, €450, but people are spending thousands to get into these very unsafe boats. But that's because if they turn up at the airport without a visa, then the airport, they will not be allowed on that flight, because the actual airline then has liability for them if they go into the country illegally. Does that have to be looked at? Presumably the same applies with the ferry carriers. Does that have to be looked at, that no decisions can be made on that basis at airport terminals or ferry terminals?
Well, this is a policy that the EU has put in place deliberately, as have most prosperous countries and areas. I mean, I think we could address it in two ways. There could be many more orderly ways of securing safe access to the EU. That could be done through resettlement for those refugees who are already recognised in the region. So we have, you know, over 3 million refugees in Turkey, in Lebanon and in Jordan. The situation in those countries, as time wears on, may become more difficult. The mechanism that's suitable there is resettlement, which could be run in a very orderly way, and safe travel could be organised. For those who aren't already recognised as refugees, the question of humanitarian visas arises, and whether European embassies should be issuing humanitarian visas through their embassies, say, for example, in Egypt. Some European countries do that in a very quiet way. We could be opening up channels for other forms of migration, just to make sure that, you know, refugees, if they do have a family member in the EU, are able to access the territory safely. Some of these things have been done, but on such a small scale when we compare it to the scale of the global displacement crisis that we're seeing. And really, I think that's the most disappointing thing about this statement. On the one hand, it's about suppressing movement and mobility, using means that I think are really dubious, military means. I mean, just the notion that we're going to respond to refugees fleeing war with military means. We say this is just to target the boats, but not people. But, I mean, we have to really question how those means are going to be put in place, if that's what we're envisaging.
Do you think also there's a concern about the statement conflating trafficking and smuggling?
Absolutely. I mean, trafficking is a legal definition which is about coercing people, moving them with force in order to exploit them. What we're seeing in the Mediterranean is smuggling. It's people using irregular means because there are no legal alternatives available to them. And a market for the services of smugglers arises when there are no legal means of mobility. So smuggling is a product of border controls. And if we're going to crack down on means of movement again, we really have to ask ourselves, if the demand for refuge is so strong, do we really imagine we're going to stop movement, or are we just going to lead to people using even more precarious and dangerous and risky methods of travel?
And Catherine, this is a huge question and we're almost out of time, but it could be argued that obviously stability in Libya is central to all of this. Do you agree with that?
I think the change in Libya has, you know, created a new migration route for sure. I mean, it has changed the geopolitics of the Central Mediterranean, and it's difficult to know when there will be a stable regime in place in Libya. But if we're imagining cooperating with Libya in the future, I think, you know, we have to ask ourselves about the ethics of the previous situation where the EU effectively was delegating border control to a repressive regime.
Catherine, we have to leave it there. Catherine Costello there, who's a professor of international human rights at Oxford. The time now, 9:20.
And we're here till 10 o'clock, and after that it should